Hey, everybody.
What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Oh, I faded that down really quickly.
Did you?
It was really abrupt. I wanted to play over
it. Second episode. Give us some time.
I am, in addition to being the co-host, I'm also the engineer, which is a little bit stressful, but I think Mark Maron did it for like the first year or two of WTF.
And you're
right?
Cooler than Mark Maron.
Is that true?
Yeah, but if he ever comes on the show, no, it's not Mark. It's
Mark,
a lie.
We love you.
Call us Mark.
I think, yeah, I like that that's our like gut reaction to everybody being mentioned on the show is, hey, we love you, man.
Call us.
So this is Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Demi.
Demi what?
I did you eBay.
That's right. So we're here to talk about episode 2 of season 1. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys. Before we get to that, we got to announce something. At the end of last episode, we promised that Alexis Bledel would be here.
I got a text this morning. She couldn't make it.
She got in a car wreck on the way here.
Yeah, it's
actually
not serious.
She's fine.
She's fine.
She'll be okay. But our podcast will suffer a little bit because she's not here. Because we love her. And she's great. She's Rory Gilmore, after all.
She's Rory Gilmore.
Arguably one half or one third of the Gilmore Girls,
yeah,
depending on how you look at it.
But she did say, next episode, gang.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that.
Next episode.
100% for sure, Alexis Bledel will be on the next episode of Gilmore Guys.
Or your money back.
Or your 0.nothing dollars back.
Yeah.
So today we are talking about episode 2 of the first season. But before we get to that, I want to do a recap of how the first episode of this podcast went.
Okay.
Because we recorded it. As of right now, we're recording episode 2 kind of in a vacuum. This is a rare time for us. We're living and we're breathing in rarefied air because we don't know. You hear that? That's the breath of rarefied air. We don't know how the world, how the internet, how the nations worldwide are going to be taking Gilmore Guys, how they're going to be reacting to it and enjoying it. So, Demi, if you had to guess how people are going to be enjoying it or not liking it or just reacting in general in a gut, visceral way, what would you say? What do you think is going to happen?
I'm predicting a runaway hit. I'm predicting number one of the iTunes charts.
A podcast or just...
I'm saying like Ariana Grande quits because she can't beat the Gilmore Guys in the music.
Right.
And... It doesn't make sense that we're in that
building. She's got one more problem without us. Would that be fair to say?
Boop, boop,
or
boop.
With us. She's got one more problem with us.
Definitely
because
with.
We're going to cause trouble to her Reign on the charts. Okay, yeah, I believe that too. I think we're going to go number one. I think President Obama is going to start playing it. Instead of doing the State of the Union, he's going to just start playing episodes of Gilmore Guys. Probably like, yeah, once every year. Or he might do like, yeah, or he might do it once a week. Instead of just addressing the nation, he's like, my fellow Americans. And then he just plays us. Because I do believe, I think our chemistry is once in a generation, would you
definitely
say?
Definitely once in a generation.
So Demi and I have known each other for almost a year now.
Almost, yeah.
Just about. We've hung out outside of doing this podcast about three times. And
we've probably hung out twice as many times since we started this podcast.
This is true.
Yeah.
But now we're like best buddies.
Best buds.
Because this is the thing about men. This is the thing about guys is guys need an activity. Women can just get together and talk. Like, you know, like on the show. They can just... Bah, 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 bah.
Not us men.
Men need something to corral around, whether that's the dodgeball game or going to see the Dodgers or reading the Artful Dodger, right. Oliver Twist in a
just
book club.
Generally dodging...
Yeah, or watching the movie Dodgeball.
Yes.
You could do all three of those. You can play Dodgeball, watch Dodgeball.
Bring your iPad into the stadium.
And read the Artful Dodger.
Yes.
At the Dodgers game.
Highly recommended.
So ours is a rare chemistry. We're aware of that. We're aware that what we're making now is, the National Library of Congress only selects a few recordings a year to go into. And I know it's unrealistic to expect that they'll select all of these episodes to go into the National Registry, but I do believe there will be, I would say, two out of the next 30.
Two, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's unrealistic.
I think it's going to be State of the Union addresses, maybe some secret recordings from Watergate, and this.
That checks out.
Yeah.
So here, we're going to start a little segment right now called Corrections, Omissions, and Whoopsie Daisies.
Whoops.
So this is the part of the show where we go back and we talk about the episode prior, or maybe episodes prior if it happened a long time ago, and we clear up things that we got wrong somehow, that we messed up, or we quoted something incorrectly, or we got a factual error wrong. We got a factual error wrong. That sounds right,
yeah.
Right? So I think in the first episode of the show, I said 168 episodes of the show, like of Gilmore Girls.
I remember that.
Exists. I'm going to want to go ahead, take a knee and correct that right now. As a matter of fact, there's only 153 episodes. So I was wrong about that. Daddy was wrong.
You piece of shit.
Oh boy.
That was a bit harsh, I understand.
I don't know if the punishment fits the crime here.
Oh, boy.
I'm not going to recover from that one.
Because, yeah, there's 22 in the first season, second, third, 22 in the fourth. Actually, yeah, the math's all there. I think it's 22 every season. But, yeah, I just messed up. I said 168. I don't know where I got that number from. But
did you count the seventh season in that one?
I did.
Oh.
Which I don't know what we're going to do about that seventh season, man. I mean... Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to talking
that
about
bridge.
That when or burn that bridge when we get to it. But as for now, it's 153 episodes. Also, in the last episode, I mentioned that the shot of the two girls at the coffee shop at Luke's or Williams Hardware, depending on how you look at it. And there's a story behind that. I can't wait for you to hear.
I can only look at it one way.
No, you got to look at it both ways, man. Expand your mind, bro.
Expand my mind.
I said that there was a dolly shot. And that's true. It like dollies in on both Rory and Lorelai, and that never happens again in the show.
Yeah.
But you know what? It does happen again. Happens again in this episode that we're discussing today. So I really want to apologize for that. I know people are relying on us for a factual and accurate reporting of the show and what goes on in it. And I don't want to mislead people. I don't want to lead people astray or malign the truth in any way. So we just want to apologize.
We're the most factual news source. We can't be lying to the people.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I also agree.
And that's corrections, omissions, and whoopsie daisies. Thank you, everybody. Okay, now we're going to get into the episode.
Do we not have a la-la-la corrections for that?
We don't yet. We're working on getting jingles. We really want to build the brand of this show. Because, listen, you can listen to a bunch of podcasts on iTunes, maybe even about Gilmore Girls. Maybe, Maybe there's two that already exist that we didn't know about before we started the show.
There are.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked, and I never will look.
Who's to say? Yeah.
Who could say? And yeah, you can get on there, but we want this to be an experience, man. We want it to be immersive on all the platforms. We're talking streaming. We're talking Vine. Demi, Electric Lemon.
Me.
You know something about Vine. You have 2 million followers on...
It's 4 million now, as of this morning.
4 million followers on Vine.
I got to ring the bell at the stock exchange and everything.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who let you do that?
Oh, they didn't... No, I, like, broke in.
Yeah, you broke in, yeah. Rung the bell. Bell. Blondie style. Is that a Blondie song?
What?
You can ring my bell.
That I don't think it is.
Something from the 80s.
Yeah.
This is going to be an adventure. This isn't just going to be two dudes talking and bullshitting in a room for an hour. I mean, no. A lot of it is that. A lot of it's going to be that. But most of it is going to be multi-platform content on all platforms.
Firing on all cylinders.
Xbox One, Xbox 360.
Xbox Two.
Xbox 369, ladies. Yes. So, yeah, we're going to do... This is all to say we're going to have jingles. We're going to have jingles for different segments in the show. We've yet to write it. Get off our backs. It's only episode 2. Yeah. Please stop complaining.
Seriously.
Seriously, get off our nuts. Okay. So, episode 2 of season 1. This is called The Lorelei's First Day at Chilton. This deals with Rory's first day at her new school, at her new private school, upon which the premise of this show hinges. Because Lorelei Sr. has got to pay for it. Who's she got to get to pay for it to help her?
Her parents.
Emily and Richard Gilmore. It's all tied together. It's all connected family, man. Family's complicated. So, we open the show literally opens with Rory and Lorelei painting each other's toenails and eating whipped cream.
Yeah.
This is the start of, because there wasn't that much of this in the pilot, but this is the start of Rory and Lorelei continually eat like human garbage dumpsters on the show.
Really?
There's just no, yeah. I mean, see, so yeah, I'll set it up. This is the start of, like, at no point do they exercise caution or exercise, period. They just eat waffles, pancakes, ice cream, damn, whipped cream, fried foods, 24/7, all the time.
That's the life.
Yeah, that's the good life. And it's TV, so they never, I mean, maybe they, you know, did the old, you know, afterwards.
Maybe they have crazy high metabolisms.
Yeah, or either or. I don't know. What do you think it is? Do you think they had an eating disorder, or do you think they had high metabolism?
See, if this show were on HBO, like we wanted it to be, they would definitely have an eating disorder. But I'm saying if the show were on maybe basic cable, probably just like a exercise off screen sort of thing. They come back and they're just like, wow, that was a great run. More whipped cream?
More whipped cream, please. That should have been one of the catchphrases.
Oh, it should have.
It's just Rory looks at the camera and says, more whipped cream, please.
La, 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 la.
Whipped cream. So it opens on them nail painting and eating whipped cream. Yeah. And this sets up what? Probably an unrealistic expectations for all girls watching the show of what might be palatable to eat. But you know what? These girls don't care. They care more about enjoying food and enjoying life than having a perfect body. Because that's not the most important thing,
right?
It's not
the most important thing.
At all.
No.
So we agree on that. So we get to the opening credits.
Before the opening credits, I do want to say there was a very weird moment where Lane comes running in with an XTC CD.
Yeah.
And Lorelei gets very excited.
She
and
screams.
It's never mentioned again. And it's so... It's weird that A, they chose a real band, and B, that it was XTC, and that, like, she was just, like, stopped whatever she was doing, and they, like, ran into the house. Again, very nice house, but, like, it was
beautiful.
Just... It came out of nowhere, and I was not expecting it, and then...
Was it off-putting? Was it too random?
It was a little too random, but then I like forgot about it later, but I was right. Also like, I gotta write this down because I don't know what's happening. Maybe she's like an XTC fan throughout this entire show or something. Well then.
Well, I will say that there's not a band reference on the show that doesn't actually exist in real life.
Right.
Everything, I think every reference to like, oh, we saw this movie, we saw this TV show or band or listened to this song. It's all real stuff. It's not like there's world building in the show and certainly in the fictional town of Stars Hollow. Oh, welcome to the Hollow Cast. I meant to say that at the top of the show.
Damn.
Welcome to the Stars Hollow Cast. I was thinking, I don't know. I was playing around because I know we joked about it. We had a laugh about it on the last one. We had a little goofy in the last episode about like Gilmore Guys, colon, a Stars Hollow cast. But what if we actually made that the...
We could do it, dude.
The title?
Let's do it.
Gilmore Guys.
A Stars Hollow cast.
Yeah.
I like it. You're hearing it here first, folks, in the second episode, which means it's probably already been enacted, but still.
Maybe. Or maybe this will never come out and we'll realize that this was a horrible...
This is going to be the lost episode.
Horrible idea.
If you find this one, you dug it out of a landfill in the desert.
This is going to be the episode where we talk about Lost. This is the last episode.
Welcome to the Lost Lonely Boys.
Lost Lonely Boys?
Lost Lonely Boys. All right.
So after the main theme song, Where You Lead, I Will Follow. Perfect theme song.
Great.
We get to the opening credits. Now here's a fun trivia fact about the opening credits. In this episode, they are off center of what they usually are. Usually they're in the center of the frame at the bottom of the screen. But in this episode, there's some on the left. I think there might be some on the right.
That's really weird.
It's super weird. And did you notice one credit? One specific credit, one writer, executive producer, or maybe
Jinji Cohen?
Jinji Cohen.
Jinji Cohen.
So Jinji Coes. Bing, 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 bing. Okay, so 16 minutes into the podcast, we've gotten to the opening credits of the show.
Oh my God, we're killing it.
Woo! So then... Rory drives to school. Lorelai, she has dirty clothes, so she's got to dress up in this kind of skanko outfit. They drive to school. While they're driving through the town, it is such... And this is Stars Hollow, and this is what the show is, and I kind of like it. It's charming in a way, but it's such a backlot, man.
Oh,
it is such, like, yeah. That's the WB. That's all it is. Like, there's no... The production value of the show is... just barely good enough.
Yeah.
To like, yeah, this is a fictional thing. Which works. To me, it maybe that's like my sensibility. I don't know. Especially now when production value on all TV shows just seems to be exponentially higher than it was even like 10 years ago.
Right.
But to me, I kind of like that. It's almost like minimalist. It's like a play in a weird way. And you'll see kind of play elements of it too. You'll see like the same actor playing multiple characters throughout the show.
Actually, yeah, I noticed that because I started looking up certain things, and Sean Gunn, who plays like a cable install man.
He plays Mick. His name is Mick in this episode.
He's like a big character later, right?
He's
like
Kirk.
A bigger, yeah.
He's in the main titles, man.
But it is like a play, I guess. I like, I mean, you were saying this, but I like the fact that you can tell it's kind of a backlot. It's just very, because it doesn't really break the scene. I don't think, even though it's clearly a backlot, I'm ever like, this is all fake. It still feels very, like, all of the dynamics between the characters are very real, so...
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to that. In a way, sometimes production value can be distracting. Mm-hmm. Is that weird to say?
No, totally.
Like, even on, like... I remember Bob Odenkirk, he would, like, argue about this, like, Mr. Show versus SNL.
Yeah.
He said that... I might be 100% misquoting him. Bob, if you're listening, I'm sorry about that.
Bob, we love you.
We love you, Bob. Come on the show, Bob. Better call us to be on the show, right? It's his character on Breaking Bad. Better call Saul. Get Sal. So he argued that for SNL, the production value is so high... on the show, because it's like, it's NBC, it's a network show, it's an institution, and that they put so much effort in like production design into like the sets for these like stupid 2.5 minute, 3.5 minute shows. He argued like some sets should just look crappy. Like the Mr. Show sets look like a high schooler did them.
A lot of times it seemed like it was just like a room in a school somewhere.
And that's who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So I would make the same argument for this show. You believe the world just enough. It's not, you know, it's not like Aaron Sorkin or HBO production value. It's good enough. It gets the job done. And I think that's the kind of show this is. Because it's about the characters and it's about the acting. And it's about letting that take precedent and take center stage.
You're totally right about set design totally being distracting sometimes, because anytime I'm watching like a mid-centuries, like 50s movie or show, like if they go outside and you see all the cars and all the buildings, I'm like immediately my first thought is how much time it takes to set that up. Where did they get all those cars? I don't need to think about that when it's just like, oh, just clear the back lot. All right, next question.
Mm-hmm. And literally, it was so fun. After the show got canceled in 2006, I think, or it might have been, yeah, I think it was 6 or 7. But then,
I want to say 7 if it was started in 2000.
Yeah,
but anyway.
I think it was 7. Well, we don't need to split hairs.
Hey, Demi?
Yeah.
We really don't need to split hairs.
I do this every time. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. If you just please.
I mean, we have a correction section.
It's our day. Not like first time. This is our day.
I'm sorry, man.
Let's
go. You want to talk about it? Sidebar?
No.
Sidecast? No? Okay.
Not yet.
All right.
Maybe in the Let's Get Personal
okay.
segment.
You got it.
Not right now.
Anyway, production value is crazy. I mean, is it big? Is it small? Who cares? So we get to, here's what I like about this part of the plot is Lorelai can't find her clothes. They're on the dirty wash, and you see her kind of acting like a buffoon in the show, because she's like embarrassing herself. She disrobes and she has the cutoffs to the headmaster. And so all the kind of togetherness that was so on display in the first episode of the show, and like she's running the inn and she raised this daughter by herself and she's created this beautiful life for herself.
Yeah.
You see that totally undercut by like, no, she's still kind of a fool. She's still got her stuff that she needs to work on.
Yeah, she's very much not. Like, she and Rory are on very similar levels when it comes to
totally
maturity.
Absolutely.
Or responsibility.
So we get to Chilton, and this is where this kind of opens the door to a whole new cast of characters. One of which is Head Master Charleston, who's in like 5 more episodes. He doesn't really play a big part. But anyway, there's also Paris Geller.
Yeah.
Paris Geller, Madeline, and Louise. This is kind of a... I don't know how much of this... I think for our generation, we know this from Mean Girls. We know the Mean Girl clique from high school, and we think the Plastics. We think Rachel McAdams, Amanda Seyfried, and the less successful one. Has to do Christian Mingle movie. ChristianMingle.com.
Or Lacey Chabert.
But what is the... is that her name?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. What is the trope, do you think, that, like, this comes from? Like, is this from Heathers? Because I don't know 80s stuff. I'm kind of illiterate when it comes to, like, the high school.
Heathers is definitely the apex of it 80s-wise, but I can't think of where it came from before that. Like, I feel like it might have just been a thing in high school movies where it's just like, we got to have an enemy. It's got to be this group of girls or something. But, like, it doesn't feel very real to me. It never has felt real to me as a, like... trope. And I don't know why that is, but I was thinking about it, like it's very like it doesn't happen anymore in movies today, and I think it's because people realize it's not very real, or they maybe just thought, well, Mean Girls did it and they did it best, so why bother anymore.
And I think people are over it. I mean, you see that funny reverse on 21 Jump Street, the movie that came out where the nerds are cool.
Yeah.
And everyone's double strapping the backpacks and stuff. Like, there's no, I don't know if that hierarchy really exists now. Almost probably because of social media. Social media is crazy, man.
Social media is ridiculous.
I mean, iTunes, iPads, iPhone, it's insanity.
All social medias.
Yeah, is evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the decay of our nation is social media. I would agree.
Back in my day, 10 miles snow uphill both ways.
What year were you born?
1992.
Yeah, so it's a great undercutting of Lorelai's togetherness in the pilot. Headmaster Charleston. Paris. What do you think of Paris so far as a character?
Because
she does, I mean, spoiler alert, she does become a major part of the show.
I'm sure she does. It seemed like she would. I can't tell why she hates Rory. I couldn't tell why any of those girls hated Rory. It seemed very unnecessary to me. They were just kind of like, who's the new girl? Oh, we gotta take her down. And then, like, I mean, Paris did it much better, but it still came from the same point as those other girls. So I was very confused. I did understand why she was mad when, Rory knocked that shit out of her hand.
That sucked.
Yeah, that really sucked.
That was awful.
But at the same time, I felt like she didn't need to be as mean about it, but that's just me being like, oh.
You know what? She overreacted.
She did.
I think we can agree on that. Although, I do think, in a weird way, Paris's bullying makes more sense than it would if it was, like, an attractive girl. I just feel like the Mean Girls thing, like the plastics. To me, Paris being like weird and territorial and catty, because it's such a, like, it's the world of academia and yeah. it's about getting good grades and blah, blah, blah. Like, that to me makes way more sense than, like, Rachel McAdams is mean.
Right.
Because, you know, who cares? Like, just, who cares? But to me, like, Paris is saying, and you certainly find out, it seems to come from a place of, like, brokenness and insecurity.
I could tell herself that much as
well. And by her own life.
Because she seemed to get especially upset when Roy was answering questions ahead of her.
Like, yeah, that was the source of it. It wasn't like, this girl's prettier, this girl's stealing the guy.
Right.
It was all like, which I guess is maybe a healthier jealousy, but like that it's like over intellect in a way and over like progress in academia. This show is such a progressive show for young women out there.
It really is.
It opened doors.
You cannot, don't die on episode two. Don't do it.
Excuse me. So that's Paris, Madeline, and Louise. We also meet Tristan.
Who's Tristan?
Tristan's the one that kept calling her Mary.
Chad Michael Murray.
CMM. CMM, baby.
CMM. Oh, God.
Which to me, I actually, maybe I'm weird, but I liked the nickname Mary. I thought it was cute.
I didn't understand. I thought he was just like purposefully forgetting her name, like it was a nag. And then when we realized, like,
hey, Betty.
Yeah. It's like, oh, she's putty in my hands now that I don't know her name. I thought he was weird and creepy, though. Like, just, I don't know. I think I wrote down why I thought he was weird and creepy, but he was. He's also just the most 2000s, like, era person
hair,
I can think of.
I know. Yeah. It's like, it's so bad.
It only would have been worse if it were, like, frosted tips in some way.
Do you think he's attractive? Do you think he's a good-looking guy?
He's definitely a good-looking guy, but he's also very good-looking in that time period. Like, he is the most quintessential
2000s.
Yeah. Like, he hasn't been
turn
in all
of the century
movies,
2000s. Too.
Yes, yeah. Like all the movies I think he's in, he's never in. But I'm just like, oh yeah, he was in. She's All That. Oh no, okay.
I assumed incorrectly. So yeah, he becomes a character in the show of certain importance. So far, by the end of this episode, what would you be? Team Dean, Team Tristan.
Oh, Team Dean.
Team Dean all the way?
Even though...
Maybe because he wasn't in this one.
Yeah, they were both a bit creepy, but Tristan was way outwardly creepy. Just like, who's that girl? Fresh meat.
Oh, did he say fresh meat?
I think he might have.
Oh. Well, I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
Because 16-year-olds, it's just the... Never mind. The people I was watching it with laughed at the part where they said James Balzac.
I don't even remember that.
They were talking about Ernest Hemingway and his influences, which brings us to a new segment. We're going to see if we can do this every episode of the show. But essentially, what we're going to do is I'm taking out every pop culture reference in the show and going to string them along into one segment, into one cut. So every time they reference a movie, a song, some music, TV show, a figure, a public figure, anything in pop culture, I'm going to take it out, splice them all together, and we'll have like the pop culture review. What should this segment be called? I was trying to think of a name.
Pop
Goes the Culture?
Pop Goes the Culture. I love it.
Really?
Yeah. Whatever. Let's do it.
We're going to... Okay, so this is a new segment called Pop Goes the Culture. And here we go. This is Pop Goes the Culture for Gilmore Girls 102.
I look like that chick from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Now walk smooth. That's a new Harry Potter on your heads. If they should drop, Harry will die and there won't be any more books.
Tolstoy's favorite author, for instance, was...
Dickens.
Ooh, a Dixie chick.
We covered Dostoevsky's main authorial influences.
George Sand and Balzac.
Just trying to see if there is a hunchback up in that bell tower.
It'd be all work and no play. Have you not seen The Shining, Mom?
Christiane Amanpour.
Off with their heads.
Yeah.
Not Cokie Roberts?
No.
Not Oprah? Rosie, or one of the women from The View?
Oh, nothing Shakespeare couldn't turn into a really good play.
New CD, XTC, Apple Venus Volume 2.
And I was in the German club for a while, but there were only three of us, and then two left for the French club after seeing Schindler's List.
That was a hardcore Schindler's List joke.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Which you gotta appreciate. There's an interesting Jewish angle in this show. Because listen, Amy Sherman and Dan Palladino are Some of the chosen people. And I think as the show goes on, like, you'll notice there's never a Christmas episode ever. There's never even like a holiday episode, really. I mean, they do Thanksgiving, but they get like Chinese food in the winter.
And I like that they don't do a like any sort of holiday episode. I feel like a lot of people like lean on that as like a, it's time to give a moral for the season.
I know, like Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
That phony.
What a asshole.
What a dumb idiot.
Charlie Brown, we hate you. Don't ever come to the show.
Yeah, Charlie Brown, go F yourself. Sorry, I shouldn't say F yourself. My mom is probably going to listen to this. And she's going to like text me, don't say
Kevin?
F. I
Kevin?
Know.
Kevin?
She doesn't sound like that, truthfully. And you know what's even, I think my grandmother's going to listen to this too. They're just going to find it. Like my grandparents are, I'm talking about them like they're robots and they've become sentient. But like, in a way, they know how to like tweet stuff.
Yeah.
I have to watch what I say on Twitter. And
my parents are aware of my web presence, but I don't think they care. They're just like, cool.
Yeah. This is also the episode where we meet Jackson Suki's fruit supplier.
Oh, yeah. Is he in more?
He's in more.
He seemed like
he's
a small character.
He's not just a little bit player. I mean, he is in this one, certainly.
Yeah.
But Jackson, as played by some guy, what is his name? We'll look up his name we'll next time. I mean, like, no, he becomes a player in the show of sorts. You meet him and Suki have a fun little debate over like the peaches, whatever it was, the peaches,
yeah,
and, like the ripeness of the
her touching
something.
All the peaches,
yeah, and they're fun. That's a fun thing, right?
I thought so. Yeah,
yeah.
I love Suki so much. Oh,
do you?
God.
Is she one of your favorite characters
she
on the
is,
show?
Honestly, like she's great. She's so sweet, and like she feels like she's characterized more than any other Melissa McCarthy character. I love her so much.
Yeah, she yeah. seems like such a human,
right?
As opposed to like, I'm
exactly.
in a sink, don't look at me.
She's not a,
like Tammy.
Yeah, she's not a Kevin James gender swap or something.
Is that why Melissa? No, I don't think that's why Melissa. Well,
oh no, I respect her much more than Kevin James. But okay. I'm saying like she is
Kevin James. Kevin James deserves some respect though.
Call us Kevin.
Can we be real?
Yeah.
Like I
King
would just
of Queens. Not bad.
King of Queens is not bad.
Yeah.
Also, I think the kind of test, the litmus test for this was I was in a waiting room one time and there was multiple TVs in there. It was at a big Hollywood studio. I don't want to name drop. It was E! Networks. I was waiting to go to a TV show taping, guys. Sometimes that's something that we do in Hollywood. We go to TV show tapings and we get to clap and we get to laugh at people that make five times more money than we'll ever make in our entire lives in that single day. That's something we get to do. But we were in the waiting room, and they're playing not only Paul Blart, but also the engagement, that movie he was in with Vince Vaughn. There was that big scandal.
The Dilemma?
The Dilemma.
Yeah.
Not The Engagement.
I saw that movie in theaters.
Yeah. But both of them were playing on mute, and I was laughing at Kevin James.
He's got some funny physical comedy.
Truly he does.
I think he gets shit because it's not like highbrow or it's not even like geared towards us. I feel like he knows very much what he's doing and it's not like he's not Arrested Development or he's not even
no.
The Hangover, but it's like
no. And yeah, the zookeeper's never gonna be Boyhood. It's never gonna be the King's Speech or whatever. But you know what? The zookeeper's got a lot of heart.
I think so.
And if you watched it, you would get it. I feel like you would get it, Demi.
I would get it.
Demi,
I'm sure.
You would get it.
I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Okay, we're gonna cancel this podcast and do it.
The zookeeper,
Kevin James. If I got another guy, sorry to have to replace you, but I could get another guy, and it could be Kevin and Kevin on Kevin.
Yes,
and we could go through every
Kevin James. Oh my God,
would that be funny?
Yes,
I think maybe my favorite character in this show, and he becomes a huge major character later on. Is Derek.
Lorelai, I swear, I didn't scratch his car.
Derek.
I mean, if you thought I was unreliable or a bad driver, I just...
It's okay.
Because I can't drive.
That guy becomes a major character?
He becomes... Yeah, actually, I'm getting ahead, but in season 6, there's a bomb that goes off in the middle of Stars Hollow.
Ooh.
And Suki, Luke, Paris, Rory, Lorelai, Emily, and Richard all die. And the only man left standing?
Derek.
And you know what's there for him to get away in?
A Honda?
Yeah.
Wow.
Specifically a Honda.
Yeah. Although I will say about that moment, like, I think in Lorelai dealing with that situation of the car thing, my first thought was like, she's very good at her job. And then immediately it's followed with Michelle just being an asshole to those two old people. And I'm like, he's awful at his job.
Yeah, I think that is the fun contrast. Michelle, to me, represents the biggest break from, well, yeah.
Does he ever get like a serious moment, or is it always just like, the biggest antique in heels probably at your house?
Yeah, well, this is 2000. So in season two, in the finale, they reveal that he planned 9/11.
Ah.
And so that's a big moment that he has. Man. I think it was a little insensitive because it's like, I don't even think he's technically Arab.
Yeah.
He's just like brown. But, you know, Amy Sherman.
Wrong turn with that one, I think.
Yeah. Wrong turn into the North Tower.
Oh.
So also, this is the episode where you see that you first really get that sense of a spark between Luke and Lorelai.
Yeah.
Specifically because there's the Chilton dad who's handsome in a weird, like, Miami Vice 80s sort of way. Wasn't it so weird and, like, out of its time?
I wish he was wearing, like, a white suit and some sunglasses.
It really felt like that. Yeah. It was crazy. But, he asks Lorelai out. She turns him down, obviously, because she doesn't want to mix Rory's school life with her personal life, and she doesn't want to infringe on that.
Right.
Which is an ironic thing to say based on what comes next and what happens. But, yeah, we'll get to that. So she's talking about it with Luke, and she says, oh, yeah, I turned this guy down.
Oh, and this father from Chilton, he drove out to the inn all the way from Hartford just to ask me out.
Really? You going?
No. He's got a kid in school with Rory, and the whole thing just seemed a little weird.
Oh, good.
Good?
Yeah, I think it's good that you turned him down.
And this is the first time you can kind of see, like, okay, there's something else. There's something else brewing between these two. These two.
It's not just the Joe.
Attractive. It's not just, yeah. There's something brewing. Demi, it's not just coffee.
It's not just the coffee.
There's something else going on. So what do you think?
I mean, obviously the romantic.
Can you comment?
Can I comment on that first, on the second episode?
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's clear that there's going to be some romantic tension there, and there's even
RT.
Like, they put it so far in front when it's like, what do you think of Luke? No, I mean, I think he's kind of cute. Like, that is such a very clear sign. It's like, oh, expect more from this. Expect more from this relationship. And I think, obviously, they're very compatible, that we can see that in the first two episodes. Like, even though Luke downplays, like, he's just so, he seems like the kind of guy who's just like, ugh, everything sucks. But you can tell, like, there's an edge to him that is not going to be on display for a while. But, like, I want it to happen. I don't know. My team, what's the dude's name, the dad?
We haven't even gotten to the dad yet, buddy. Uh-huh.
Have we not?
His name is Christopher.
Christopher.
He doesn't come in until halfway through the first season.
Oh, so he comes back. All right. Am I team Chris or team Luke?
Based on knowing nothing about Christopher and based on knowing a few things about Luke.
At this point, I'm team Christopher because in the moment, I kind of wish she would have said yes, even though I knew she wouldn't.
Yeah.
Although I know it's eventually going to, like, over Christopher, probably Luke will come, but still.
Does he?
I guess I don't know.
You don't know.
Oh, boy. This show's going to throw me for the loop. But for right now, I'm Team Chris. Team Chris.
Team guy off screen that you don't know anything about.
I'm Team Extra. I'm Team Other Character.
So, yeah, Luke's got a big old chubby for Lorelai, and that's cute.
You know who I'm glad came back in this episode? Miss Patty.
Yeah, Miss sure Patty's rad.
She's the best. She dresses like a carnival psychic. It's great. Yeah, I love her so much. Good.
She is really over sexual with those little girls.
Yeah.
She's like, shake those tushes, yeah. Like, there's and she has a great Harry Potter line that we played in the Pop Goes the Culture segment. Is that what we're calling it?
Pop Goes the Culture. Yes.
And it's just us singing Pop Goes the Culture and then we get into it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pop Goes the Culture.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So, first draft. But I think with Miss Patty, too, you find the townies are just so... There's such an emotional groundedness in the core relationships of the show.
Yeah.
With Emily and Lorelai, with Rory and Lorelai. You know, everyone in the family with Luke and stuff. And then the townies are just like these huge, broad strokes that kind of surround it. So there's like this real solid core,
yeah,
and center to it. And then around them is just this like insanity and truly like a Looney Tunes sort of mentality. It really, it's a screwball comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole thing's a screwball comedy, but...
It seems like all the like the tertiary characters are more of the screwball comedy, like the Miss Patty and even the Michelle and... kind of Suki, not so much, but all the characters that aren't like the main family are just full on comedy right now, and I'm loving it.
Hey, Big Mac.
Big what?
Ba 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 ba.
I don't even know what you said.
I'm loving it.
Oh,
Big Mac.
Ba 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 ba.
That's a it's a hamburger, buddy.
Is that even their slogan anymore? McDonald's. I'm loving it.
I think it's McDonald's. Look, we got black people to be in our commercials.
McDonald's. We don't see color.
Or nutrition.
Or nutrition.
So let's talk about some of the things in the show that are a little dated. They're a little, in 2014, that's kind of silly that they're doing that. First of all, when Mick, played by Sean Gunn, comes over to install what? The DSL.
DSL.
Remember DSL, man?
I loved the line when Lorelai confronts Emily about it, and she's like, it's faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is very outdated.
Yeah. Because DSL was faster.
It was at one time.
But now, DSL means something different.
And now it's a punchline, yeah.
So that was a dated thing. Mm-hmm. Also, when Rory, not Rory, when Lorelai and Emily have that conversation, what are they talking on? They're talking on corded phones.
Are they?
Man. Yeah. Well,
why
not
did I
corded.
Think it was in person.
No. Well, no, when they're talking about the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's on the phone. It's not corded phones, though.
Just big correction, old omission. Saved by the bell.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's a huge cell phone. No, this is, but they're landlines. Landlines don't exist anymore, man. They're a thing of the past.
They are.
Who has a landline anymore?
Fucking nerds.
So silly.
If you got a landline, call us and I'll come over and push you in a locker myself.
This is also during that conversation where Emily, who was always and forever my favorite character on this show, and maybe in like every show. Truthfully, she's one of my favorite characters of all time.
Two episodes in, she's already my favorite character of the show. She runs this show.
Yeah.
Like, conflict-wise, humor-wise. Okay, we didn't mention this earlier, but when the Dukes of Hazzard outfit was going on, she gets like four jabs in at her, and they're all perfect. When she's like, dinner later tonight, no spurs. I was like, yes, yeah.
Oh, my shirt.
She's great.
Emily nailed it. My favorite Emily Gilmore-ism of this episode is when she's talking about getting Rory a parking spot. and Lorelai says, no, she doesn't have a car. She'll take a bus. She'll take the bus.
Yeah.
And she says,
drug dealers take the bus.
Oh, classic Emily Gilmore.
Emily Gilmore.
If we could, can you imagine? I would lose my mind, but if we could get Kelly Bishop to be on this show, if we could like trick her into thinking we're like,
yeah,
if we could trick that sweet woman into thinking we're like legitimate people.
Yeah, this is W2F with Mark Smarin side podcast.
Although I don't know if that would legitimize it.
I don't think so.
To Kelly. Oh, well, if it's WTF, absolutely. Is this a Nerdist thing? Is it on the network at least?
Yep.
Is this an Airwolf thing?
Both.
Not that she talks like that in real life.
Man.
The show is not a documentary.
It is not a documentary.
No.
Which I was confused about because I thought, wow, I didn't know that Lauren Graham and Alexis Bledel were related in any way.
No, but they're not.
They're not.
But they do, you know, when you watch the show, you can kind of see it.
Yeah, actually, they did the very good casting. They do kind of look similar. Maybe it's just the blue eyes and being white women.
Let's do the fashion report.
La 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 fashion.
All right, so
these jingles are going great so far.
So I don't know if I need to record them.
No,
we should just perform them live every time.
Every time.
So Lorelai wakes up. Her pajamas are okay, I guess. They have like little monkeys on them or something.
I didn't notice the pajamas.
Go. What did you do? What was the first and biggest thing you noticed about this?
I mean, fashion-wise, probably Alexis Bledel's outfit when she goes to wake up her mom, but then it's not even like a... It's a very plain outfit, but then the Dukes of Hazzard outfit is probably the first big one of the show.
That's a big splash fashion-wise as far as fashion goes in this show.
She looks like a Coyote Ugly bartender.
Truly, like, and it does work for her, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't not work.
It's not... That was not a diss to say that she looks
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it's not like, ooh, put some clothes on, Mom. It's like, hey, you're all right, Mom. You're all right. Not my fit. I mean, she doesn't even... She doesn't look like a whore, does she?
But I don't...
You think she does?
No. I'm saying, like, I don't know that I would say any... I don't think anyone looks like a whore.
Ladies. Ladies. Are you still single?
I am.
Since when? When was your last girlfriend?
Oh boy, here we go. 2012. Been single for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did it end? Whose fault was it?
Mine, probably. If I'm being real.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
It wasn't like a one specific thing. I'm just very much emotionally, not like...
Unavailable?
Not even unavailable, just like very guarded. Yeah.
Okay, so you didn't let her in. She wanted intimacy.
Yeah.
And you would put guards up against that.
I would put guards up.
Why?
I don't know. I've had this talk with friends before. And
because you cared about her a lot.
Yeah, of course.
How long did you date?
Not very long. It was about like 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah. I'd stay. That's longish.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very long. But I don't know. I've had that talk with friends before, but I don't know why I'm very emotionally guarded in relationships sometimes.
And do you feel like you've grown in that respect?
I do. I at least understand that I'm emotionally guarded now, and mm-hmm. I try to break that down, but it's still difficult for some reason. I don't know.
Gotcha.
La 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 la
la la la.
Personal.
That was personal. That was within fashion, though, because we're not done with fashion.
Yeah,
yet.
We do subsections.
Subsections and subsegments, I guess you would call it. Segments and subsegments.
Yeah.
So when Emily shows up in Headmaster Charleston's office and is like, whoa, didn't see that coming. I don't really like her dress here. I think it looks kind of boxy, right?
She looks like the Chancellor of Germany.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think her fashion improves, and certainly her hair improves. That's one thing I'm noticing rewatching the first season. I'm like, man, Emily, like, this is just not good.
I mean, she at least knows that.
I just gestured towards my hair when I said this.
I mean, she knows it, because at the end of the episode, she's, like, doing her hair, right? When she's on
yes,
the phone, yeah.
That's true. So there is some self-awareness.
She's aware.
Yeah. Lorelai's suit is nice. Skirt is super tight, though. Is that, like, is that standard for, like, business wear?
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that when pencil skirts are mostly worn?
Yeah.
Business situations.
Worn and accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's okay. We'll give you a pass for this one, Lorelai. Also, I like Michelle's suit, but I don't like his tie in this episode. His tie is like too light. I like the pinstripes. I think that's fine. It's almost like Tompkins-esque, but
yeah.
The tie is like this yellow paisley. I just wasn't having it.
I couldn't. Man, I wish I paid more attention to the fashion. I cannot picture his tie right now, but.
Well, just picture a piece of garbage in tie form.
Strung together in tie shape.
Yeah, that's right.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, so that was the fashion report. La 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 la.
Fashion.
Oh, so how does the episode end? The episode ends with Lorelai's had a long, hard day. She had to confront Emily over Emily constantly meddling, trying to get Rory the parking spot, doing the DSL.
DSL.
And then she picks up Rory, and they hug, and because Rory had a long, hard day, too, because she screwed up Paris's project.
Yeah.
That they're going to be forced to work together on. This is a theme of the show. There's going to be certain elements flying around all the time that, for some reason or another, always bring Paris and Rory back.
I can kind of see that that's probably going to turn into a thing where it's like they're enemies for a while and then they're friends. But I'm wondering if Gilmore Girls did that first, because I've seen that in other places, I feel like. I'm wondering if Gilmore Girls did it first, or if it's like it's been done a few times before and now it's again with Gilmore Girls. But I can't tell, but it seems very fresh in this. It doesn't ever seem like...
It's a fresh Gilmore Girls, dude.
It is.
Also, the other... Like, what I would say about Paris and Rory's friendship, and you don't know this yet, but, like, it starts broad, and it starts with these kind of, like, stereotypes. The new girl, territorial bitchy girl, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But the new one, because it doesn't really, it evolves a lot, but it's not like, oh, they kind of hate each other, now they love each other. There's always, for the entirety of the show, a thread of contentiousness in it. And that's like super nuanced and interesting and I think really realistic and true to life.
Right.
Like I think this show, because I don't know if you've heard this criticism before. I'm sure we'll talk about it with people who are on the show in future episodes. But the criticism of the show is that it's not realistic. No one's that funny in real life. No one talks that fast.
Right.
No one's that witty. Blah, 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 blah. I would say, and I would argue, that that is a stylized convention meant to convey a deeper truth. It's just like comic book, because no one's a superhero. No
right.
one's a vampire. No
yeah.
one, who cares? Shut up. But you still buy into the world because they use that device to frame a deeper truth. And the style is not the substance. The style reveals the substance. And I think for this show, the relationships on it are just so meaty and interesting and fine and difficult that using the stylized dialogue, it's almost like a Trojan horse to get people into it.
Yeah.
Because I can watch with people who wouldn't be like that interested in like, oh, what are the dynamics of, you know, a grandmother and decades of like coldness and tension? Like, I know a lot of people don't care about it, but if you put it in this like really sweet, kind of easy to digest package, or just like this interesting package, people will buy it too.
I think so. I think I would not have been interested in Gilmore Girls if I didn't recognize it as sort of like if I couldn't compare it to Seinfeld, which I do sometimes just because of the dialogue, like especially with the, oh, I found it. It was under a turtle. Oh, the thing says frog. Well, it's a turtle. Oh, that sounds like a frog turtle. Like that's very, felt very Seinfeld to me. Like those moments.
Da-da-da.
Exactly.
Which Seinfeld, and that's Howard Hawks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's old 40s screwball comedy. So yeah. It's all, like, it's all related to each other.
It's very accessible in a way that gets you into the rest of the... Like, if that wasn't there, I would think this is not... I wouldn't think it's not a good show, but I probably wouldn't be as interested in it if there weren't a very specific style that is very easy and
it would
fun
just be Everwood.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everwood, we love you.
Everwood. Please come on the show,
Come
Everwood.
On the show, Everwood.
Or Evan Rachel Wood.
Ooh.
If you're listening.
Mrs. Marilyn Manson, right?
Are they still together?
No. But she was, yeah. It's like Mrs. X Marilyn Manson.
Man, rip true love.
R.I.P. If they can't make it work, what hope is there for the rest of us? I truly felt that way about Will Arnett and Amy Poehler.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. Oh, what a bummer. And then there was a very, very brief moment where Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman broke up, and I was kind of weirdly bummed, but they're back together, so.
Yeah, I don't understand the psychology behind it. Or like Al and Tipper Gore splitting up.
That was weird. It was a very
it's
weird.
Like, just tough it out. I'm sure you're barely home anyway. You're flying around talking about global warming. Who cares?
Do you remember there was like a very famous moment where they kissed and it was weird?
Yeah, that was the 2000 DNC.
That's
I remember
what it was.
It
yeah.
It was. Yeah, it was so strange.
Just a strange kiss.
Yeah. Probably the strangest political kiss ever. Would you say? What would be a stranger one?
I'm going to say that would be it, yeah.
Or that there was that one time Joe Biden Frenched a Cocker Spaniel.
That was
in the Rose Garden.
It's kind of sexy,
that?
Though.
Yeah, but I do feel it was just undignified. Not for the office, but just because the Cocker Spaniel didn't look into it.
No, right, yeah.
At all. If he was into it, then it would have been kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But like, pull back, Joe.
Yeah, pull back. Pull back or pull out. That's what I say. Joe, if you're listening, come on the show.
We love you.
We'll be starting a podcast with Joe Biden called Biden My Time. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be great. I don't know what we talk about, but it doesn't matter.
It would just be him alone in a room.
just him,
like, talking into a microphone for an hour.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't even like begin or end. You would just turn it on, leave the room, come back in an hour, turn it off, and then the next episode would pick up right.
That'd be great. Oh my God.
But we would make him at some point say, "Hey, I'm just biding my time."
That's when we'd cut off the episode, whenever he says that. Yeah. So he has to sort of make sure he doesn't say it too early. Do we have Joe Biden's agent contact info? Can we get that happen?
It was in my other iPhone.
Ah.
Listen, we're in Hollywood. We're recording actually in the heart of Hollywood.
Yes, we are.
And in an office in an undisclosed location. Let's just say... It's an office with a view. A view from an office. View.
Whoopee.
Making it, watching it, eating the pies. All of it. Also, this is a fun framing device. The show begins with them painting toenails and eating whipped cream.
Yep.
The show ends with them stuffing garbage in their mouths again, walking down the street with Lane. They're eating like what? Like pizzas or something?
I have no idea what they're eating.
Well, they're eating some
the thing
some
that I focused most on that last episode was when they like walk past Luke's and he just kind of walks out looking longingly at Lorelai.
Yeah, like, there's my girls.
There she goes.
That would have been great if every episode ended with that song.
If it's just in there somewhere, it'd be very strange, but yeah. I would have loved it.
I would have loved it too. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Did you realize... Okay, let's do some fun trivia. This is trivia. La 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 la.
Trivia.
So some fun trivia that kind of has to do with this episode, but not really, but we'll just paint in broad strokes. So the girl who plays Paris Geller...
Mm-hmm.
Who is a guest star and becomes a main character on the show.
Liza
Wildwheel.
Yeah.
She's on How to Get Away with Murder now, so she's doing all right.
She was in Scandal, yeah.
Yeah. So she's been working in Shondaland for a while.
That she has.
She was originally supposed to play Rory.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Actually, no, that's untrue. She auditioned to play Rory.
Okay, I was like, what?
She auditioned to play Rory, and they're like, no, you're not right for this, but we like you a lot. So they called her up for Paris Geller.
I'm glad they did. I don't think she would have worked as Rory just because, one, if they had Lauren Graham at that time,
that would have been hilarious. Yeah. It's like, they don't go together.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful lady, and there's a little German boy with long hair. Just kidding. Liza, I do think she's very attractive.
Oh, my God. She's so beautiful.
Yeah. But, in kind of an exotic way, especially now she's got this like short haircut. Man, I'm into older women in general. If my favorite's Emily Gilmore, that says more about me than anything.
Ugh, I just love Betty White.
Baby Betty. So, ooh, boy, burpy, blurpy.
That sounded like the sound on like a...
That's the WB Frog right there.
Yeah. Hello, my baby.
Hello, my darling.
Oh, man.
Ray Romano, Deborah de Deborah.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Hey, Raymond.
This is just going to become the WB cast.
Ooh, that'd be fun. If we went through like every show that was on the WB.
Yeah.
Like there was that one, there's True that Hill. One show about the Army. It wasn't Enlisted, RIP Enlisted, but it was on the WB. Army? It was like for 6 episodes and they canceled. It was like Troops or something dumb like that.
I've never heard of this show.
Yeah, we could do Unhappily Ever After. We could do a lot.
Yeah.
But, okay, so...
Then we get into cartoons. We got Static Shock. We got the other ones.
Static Shock?
You don't remember Static Shock?
Was that in the morning? Was that like... Okay, what I did watch was... I didn't watch Tiny Toons when it was on WB. I watched it on Nickelodeon a little bit. But, of course, what I love more, Animaniacs.
Yes.
Which is... Probably the best. I mean, from our generation, Timeless. Probably the best
easily
animated show.
That or like Freakazoid. For kids,
Freakazoid. I never watched a whole ep.
Really? Oh my God!
I would watch it on DVD, or I think it's on one of the Prime streaming services. I would watch it on that.
I want to say it's the same people as Animaniacs, which is probably why it was
it's like
so
the same
good.
Studio.
Yeah,
they put Steven Spielberg on the name though, or on the like produced by Steven. Even though he's just like he probably just signed the check or his agency did, so it's like who cares? But it's always like Steven Spielberg presents. But because of that, I remember my mom wouldn't let me watch certain
cartoons. She didn't like Steven Spielberg?
Yeah, it wasn't a Jewish thing. It was just like I was homeschooled, so she was just like super protective.
Right.
And just like we weren't allowed to watch Rugrats or The Simpsons because it was like, oh, it's disrespectful. And it's like with Steven Spielberg, it wasn't like, it wasn't, just in case anyone thinks it might be anti-Semitism, it's not. But it was more like, liberalism, I think.
Mm.
So she was afraid Animaniacs would make me liberal when they're singing about the presidents. Those songs were so good, though.
They were... It was, like, very finely finessed. Like, just good shit.
And still holds up. I listened to those soundtracks. Like, The Nations of the World. Do you remember that?
I used to know all the words to that one. I don't anymore.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Grenada, Salvador, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still Guatemala, Bolivia, then Argentina, and Ecuador, Chile, Brazil, Costa Rica, Belize, Nicaragua.
Oh, my God.
Paraguay, Uruguay, Suriname, and French Guiana, Barbados, and Guam.
Oh, my God.
Norway and Sweden and Iceland and Finland and Germany now in one place. Switzerland and Austria, Czechoslovakia, Italy, Turkey and Greece, Poland, Romania, Scotland, Albania, Ireland, Russia, Oman, Bulgaria, Saudi Arabia, Hungary, Cyprus, Iraq and Iran, Syria, Israel, Lebanon, Jordan, Kuwait, and Bahrain. In that section, I always bomb it.
Dude, that was so... That was incredible. I wish we had a studio audience that could applaud you.
Wait, I believe Melissa McCarthy just walked in.
Oh, Melissa. Why? Get out of here.
Okay, bye. Good job.
Thanks, Melissa. Why do you keep putting
what
on a voice?
Sweetheart. Oh, she's so sweet.
She's great.
I can't, I think the St. Vincent movie is going to be good.
I do too.
With Bill Murray, that just looks like, because she's normal again. She's just like, I'm a single mom.
Yeah.
Life is hard. Not just like, she looks like normal. So it's good. Okay, we're at the end of episode 2. We've met a lot of new characters, we've been introduced to Paris. To Jackson. Oh, you know what? We're not done with trivia yet, bro.
Oh.
We got on a sidetrack on a sidetrack on a sidetrack. We got to get back to trivia. Second piece of trivia. Luke's coffee shop, different set in this episode.
Really?
Did you notice that?
I guess there was like a pilot set and then they were like, oh, we got to do something else.
Which is very common.
Yeah.
Here's a little Hollywood insider info. Sometimes when they do pilots, they use...
A pilot is the first episode of a show.
Mm-hmm. Or the guy flies a plane, am I right?
Uh-oh. Hey-oh.
this guy flies a plane. Have you ever... What if, like, a camera guy went through the airport security, and they're like, "What's your business?" And he was like, "I'm here to shoot a pilot." You know what I mean?
He's going
to
get arrested.
He will.
Ow.
Oh, guys, life is crazy. So, yeah, that's the second piece of trivia. Different set for Luke Steiner. Is that all the trivia? I think for this episode, those are the two biggies to take away from. If there's more, we'll put on Corrections, Omissions, and Whoopsie Daisies for the next step.
Yeah.
But overall, how do we rate this ep? What do you think of it? Episode two, it's still kind of the second part of the pilot, like most second episodes are. It's like,
yeah,
here's the world, and here's basically what it's going to kind of be like. Here's Chilton. Here's some more townies. What do you think?
This episode, I don't think it established anything as strong as the first episode, but that's how first episodes are supposed to. But I still think it was really good. I think it was funnier. I think there's one moment I didn't mention earlier when Lorelai is walking into the headmaster's office and she like sort of like keeps talking nervously to his assistant or receptionist or whatever. She like delivers this like solid like 30 second thing that was like so funny to me and I loved it so much. But it's literally just her talking, just being, "We're here to see the headmaster, I'm not gonna, anyways, Ian," and I thought that was so funny. It was probably the funniest moment to me, and the rest of the episode was still just really good in terms of comedy.
But her command of comedy is pretty unique, actually. Yeah. Because most people, I will say this, like, regardless of, like, whatever real life experiences people have had with Lauren Graham, she is endlessly impressive on this show. And I think what she does with Lorelai as a character is just unparalleled. Even like she's doing really great stuff on Parenthood right now, which is a much less nuanced show.
Yeah.
But what she does here, you'll find there's a different thing that she gets to do in every single episode where it's like, "Oh, I didn't know you could do that."
Yeah.
Whether not like it's a talent show or something, but just like an interesting thing that she pulls out, or a nuance or a timing thing that's just so, so impressive to watch. Really stellar stuff. So I know what you're talking, like just the ability to be like awkward, and it's not adorkable.
No, it's not adorkable.
It's the furthest thing from adorkable, right?
I can't think of an opposite.
I would just say it's straight up adorable. Let's just use English words.
It really is.
Yeah.
And she's very good at just delivering. I can't tell if it was written or if she was just like, she was just told to like improv this nervous sort of speech and ended with this, but it was great.
I would say it probably was not improvised.
No.
Because if you can tell, I'm sure you can, but it's like the articulation on this show, the dialogue, it is Sorkin-esque and it's got to be word perfect.
Yes.
So when they memorize it, they memorize it. There's no Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I've heard her talk about how the hardest thing for some of the scenes is just memorizing these long draws of nothing.
Just because most of them are just like long master shots.
Exactly.
There's no coverage, really. Yeah. Which is really impressive. And we'll get to that. We'll talk about the visual language when I think are like the kind of cinematic ancestors of the show.
But rating.
And later episodes. Yeah. Let's rate the episode. Is there anything you didn't like about it before we talk about that? Before we rate it 5 out of 4?
I think Chad Michael Murray was weird. I think
a safe assessment.
Yeah. I like Chad Michael Murray. Call us. But I just think that it was a very weird moment for him. Dinner was like, "Hey, I'm sorry I'm late. Ooh, who's the new girl?" It felt very unreal and just kind of gross from his point. But aside from that, the three girls who were like hiding in a bush trying to get info about Rory, it was so weird.
It felt like a young adult novel.
Yeah, it was very out of place in the sense that I can see the mean girls trope, but I can't see the mean girls trope to the level where it's like, "All right, I'm going to get the file and pass it out the window to you guys.
And also, let's just wait in the bushes for an indeterminate amount of time."
I don't know. It was like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern and Guildenstern's friend who really fucking hates nature or something.
Sure,
yeah. But it was just, I don't know, that moment was weird. Is there anything else that I didn't... I liked everything else about this. There was one moment where Luke is like trying to fix a toaster and he's just kind of shoving a knife into it. And I was like, "Don't do that." And I couldn't focus on anything else for that. The first,
it was kind of funny though.
Yeah. It was very funny, but it was also
charming.
Like, It's so charming to stick a knife in a toaster and just try to fix it that
adorable
way.
Kids, if you want to impress your parents and be cute, stick a knife in a toaster, bro.
But aside from that, no, I love this episode.
I thought it was really good. I think it definitely sets up good things to come. But even from the get-go, there's nothing that seems like weirdly tone-deaf about the show or like, oh, that's super different. Other than some of the visual stuff, like that shot when they first go into Headmaster's office and there's that weird close-up of the receptionist and she goes, whoa! It's like a Terry Gilliam shot.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like grotesque and kind of close-up and super stylized, which the show just isn't in a visual way.
Yeah.
You know? But overall, I give this 4 out of 5 Chiltons.
4 out of 5 turtles that look like frogs to me. I agree, 4 out of 5 though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that does it.
Yeah.
I think that's episode 2 of Gilmore Girls. For episode 3, and it's episode 2 of Gilmore Guys. As it stands right now, we are trying to map out the future of this show. There's going to be episodes that we might combine episodes into it. Really, you're listening to us talk about Gilmore Girls finding their footing. Well, guess what, guys? We're finding our footing, too.
This is our first day at Chilton, too.
Yeah, and listen up. We got people knocking our models out of our hands and calling us Little Marys. We should have called each other Mary throughout the whole podcast.
We should have put up some gargoyles around the room. Not that anyone would notice.
Yeah, we should have made weird insert shots of gargoyles for no particular reason. Because I guess that's high class. I don't know. There was just weird
insert shots
to introduce Chilton. But there's going to be episodes where we'll have guests. There may be episodes where we have where we combine episodes and for time's sake, because doing 153 would be at least, or 150, I already forgot how many
it is. 153, you said, yeah.
No, because it's got to be an even number.
No.
If it's 100.
Oh, you're right. Right? You did say 153 before, though.
No, maybe it's 150. What's 22 times 7?
22 times 7 would be 152.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, so one of them must have had 23 apps. Yep, 153. I was right. F you, I was right. Sorry, Mom, I said F again. You know what? Maybe I'm assuming a lot and thinking that my mom would listen to
If she
this.
Does listen, there are some other things that I think she would take issue with, but like the whole took a turn right into the North Tower joke.
You know what? She might actually think that's a little goofy and funny.
Well then, good.
No, she wouldn't. She loves this country. And I love this country too.
And I'm proud.
And how do we heal?
Be an American, or at least I know I'm free.
I'm free.
And I won't forget the men who died to gave that right to me. And I'll proudly stand up
next to you
and defend her still today.
Ooh.
'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
Love this land.
God bless
you. Yeah, but anyway, sorry about that 9/11 joke, Mom. But she'll like that we just sang that because she does like that song.
Oh.
I remember when I was at one of the first, because I work as an editor, and one of the first videos I ever edited in high school, she said, how about we have a patriotic section where you'd play Proud to Be an American over footage? It was a baseball video. This was like 11 years ago. And so I did it, and I guess it was okay. People in Texas liked it. Who knows? But yeah, we're going to have different formats. Sometimes Demi may not be able to make it. Maybe sometimes Demi will have an accident happen.
Who's to say?
Who's to say? Maybe sometimes Demi will hit himself in the head, trip down the stairs. Maybe sometimes Demi won't know his place, and he won't know the meaning of the word respect.
Who's to say?
So who's to say? So we're going to be playing around with the formats. We're finding our feet. But so far we're just loving this. We're loving every second of it. We're just lying around naked in an undisclosed office somewhere in the heart of Hollywood, California.
Somewhere.
But, we hope to see you for episode 3 of Gilmore Guys. Next week, Alexis Bledel will be here.
Oh, God willing.
100% for sure.
Yeah.
And, God willing, but you know what? Anyone willing, too.
Really, anyone willing.
Satan willing. The Dark Lord willing as well. If he can make it happen, let's you know, call upon his name.
Please.
Oh, boy.
A lot of apologies to your mom today.
I know. I'm just so... She probably won't even listen to this. I mean, so far, we're an hour and 16 into it.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll wrap it up. We'll just say thank you for joining us on
thank
Gilmore,
you so much.
Guys. And we'll see you next time on the next Stars Holocast. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks, dudes and women.
Wait, are we going to sing at the end? Or was that just a pilot thing?
You know what? No. We should keep that up.
Yeah.
Do you guys like the singing?
Yeah, we love it. It's great.
Oh, my
Melissa,
God.
Melissa came back and Melissa, she loves it.
Have you been sitting out there the entire time?
Yeah, I just want to be polite.
I mean, you should... I guess we should have you on the show as a guest sometime. No?
No.
All right.
I gotta go share the movie.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe I should just...
Nah, dude, let's do this.
Okay.
Unless there's an ad. There's an ad. One second.
Well, okay, now we have to fill time.
Yeah, we gotta fill time.
So do you like girls?
Yeah.
I like girls, too.
Cool. Yeah, girls are dope. Girls are cool.
Girls are super dope, super fun.
Here we go!
Road.
Feeling lonely. And so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train.
Choo-choo.
Where you lead, I will follow you
anywhere
that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow. Where you lead, I will follow you anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow where you lead.
Thanks, guys.